how tiny can a computer get? That's what we're exploring today in All Tech Considered. Scientists are now using ingestible computers to do things that were once considered science fiction. Take the 1960s film Fantastic Voyage. A crew is shrunk to microscopic size and sent into the body of an injured scientist.
You are going where no man or camera has ventured before. And when you come out, you may never look at yourself in the same way again.
Well, scientists are not shrinking humans just yet, but they are sending computers into our bodies to diagnose what is wrong with us. Albert Swiston joins us. He's a biomaterial scientist at MIT, and he is one of those working on this issue, experimenting with sensors inside of pigs. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You are using these devices to monitor three vital signs at once in pigs. This is a new development in the field. Explain how it works.
It's a device that's so small, it's about the size of a large multivitamin pill that you might take, that is able to listen to your heart and listen to your lungs, and has a thermometer on board that can tell you what your heart rate, your breathing rate, and what your body core temperature are. And then it can send that data outside of you to, say, a smartphone or to a laptop computer and tell you what those vital signs are without touching the body. So it's not a wearable, it's an ingestible.
We can already monitor heart rate, breathing rate, things like that. What's the value of monitoring it by swallowing something instead of just by, you know, putting a stethoscope to your chest?
It's funny that you mention a stethoscope because that's fundamentally the way that our device works. It listens to those sounds of the lub-dub of the heart and the wheezing sound of the lungs and is able to send that outside the body. The advantage here is that there are some bits of information from the body, namely the temperature of the body, that can only be monitored inside the body.
Well, you mentioned listening to the lub-dub of the heart and the wheezing of the lungs. We actually have audio that you recorded using this device from inside of a pig. Let's listen to this. This really does sound like something from inside of a science fiction movie soundtrack.
That is the sound of a pig's heart, the lub-dub, and that device is sitting on top of a pile of food in the stomach of the pig.
Listen, I don't want to get too graphic, but are these things cheap enough that you don't have to worry about retrieving them after the assessment is done?
It depends on your price point. If you are, say, a performance athlete, $70, which is roughly what it would cost to build such a device, is a totally trivial amount. And so we're thinking of markets where, say, a patient comes into an emergency room and needs to be monitored for only a short period of time, or you just had a surgery and you're being sent home and you want to monitor your core temperature looking for fever because maybe you're worried about having acquired an infection in the hospital. And so you'd only use it for a few weeks.
We're talking about something that travels through your GI tract. Is there a generation of these technologies that could travel through your bloodstream or your nervous system or other systems in the body?
There are funding agencies right now, DARPA being one of them, the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency.
Like part of the Pentagon. Are we talking about
That's
weapons?
Right. No. This is for enabling technologies for those, say, injured in war that would be able to restore functions. And we're very seriously thinking about some of those applications too, where you could enable or complement someone's ability that had been lost to a degenerative disease or trauma, say, and being able to travel in the bloodstream or affect the nervous system, I think is really the next great frontier of medicine.
Albert Swiston's study is out this month in the journal PLOS ONE. You can also read more about it at npr.org. Great talking with you.
Thanks so much for having me, Ari.
Not only are sensors getting smaller, computers themselves are shrinking. The race is on to build even smaller devices. We called up Stephen Shankland. He's a senior writer for CNET, and he's been covering the shrinking world of digital technology. I asked him, once a computer can fit in your pocket, what's the point of having one the size of a grain of sand?
If you look into the glorious future, things definitely could get very different. So you might look at a future where the computing power you need is just woven into the fabric of your shirt, or maybe it's in a ring or in your watch, and that device connects automatically to some screen next to you. Some people think that in the future you're going to have virtual reality that might feed into your glasses that you wear or maybe into your contact lenses. And if that happens, then you don't need the display. It just gets piped straight into your eyeball.
Are you saying that this conversation about ever smaller computers is connected to the conversation about computers integrating into our everyday lives so that we stop thinking of computers as separate things altogether?
Well, that's already started happening, I think, with smartphones, where people sleep with them next to their beds. They're constantly getting little alerts and warbles telling them people are trying to communicate with them. Now, it's not clear how far that's going to go. Having that layer of information from the internet between you and what you see, that's kind of a sticky issue socially.
That's Stephen Shankland, writer for CNET.